Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
And today's cast, One-on-Ones Updated, Part 1 of 3.
The questions this cast answers are, how do I get to know my team? How do I get my team to do their jobs? What should I discuss in a one-on-one?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Do you have a group of managers who have English as a second language, or they perform their daily duties in another language? Maybe they don't have any English at all. Don't let that deter you from having Manager Tools deliver our virtual training to your group. We can offer virtually translated training in the language of your choice, interpreted live time by an individual whose native language is that of your workforce. It incurs a slightly additional cost, but it's worth every penny. Send an email to Maggie today to learn more. Reach out at customerservice@manager-tools.com. All right. So, Mark, folks that are listening, or folks that heard, I suppose, our intro today will note it's slightly different than our intros of past. We are working over here at Manager Tools on ensuring that our Trinity podcast, if you're familiar with the word Trinity podcasts, our core of our guidance is updated to reflect both the things that the audience wants to see, like the naming of how many parts the podcast is before we go into the podcast itself, as well as making small updates and changes and doing an overall refresh. So here we are on the One-on-One Refresh podcast.
Okay. Well, thanks, Sarah. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, it's going
to
be good.
It's been quite a while, and we get to revisit our core guidance about one-on-ones, the most important manager tool there is. And if you get this right, everything else is easier. And if you don't get one-on-ones right, everything else is harder, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that a lot of people discount relationship, something runs through the core of much of our guidance, including that of one-on-ones. And the professional measurement that correlates better than any other with a manager's ability to achieve results and retention, the two primary responsibilities of all of the managers, is trust. It's trust. And over the course of the past 30 years, you, yourself, Mark, Mike, and in later stages, Kate, myself, and the others here at Manager Tools have been testing hundreds of managerial behaviors. One-on-ones in the form presented here today improves more rapidly and sustainably than any other tool we've ever tested.
One-on-ones are basically the bedrock of effective managers. And in this cast, we're going to tell you exactly how to do them.
Yes, we are. All right, we've got an outline today, folks, that starts with hold one-on-ones with all of your direct reports, then schedule one-on-ones on your calendar, do so at weekly intervals, stay with the structure, what to talk about, where to have those conversations, and taking notes.
Okay, so I get to start. Our first bit of guidance, hold one-on-ones with all your directs. Have you ever seen an employee opinion survey where all the staff, including those who report to the CEO even, ever said, we get too much communication? Yeah. We've seen hundreds of surveys, and we're willing to bet that there never has been one where people said, oh yeah, you're communicating with me too much. Never. More communication is better. That's Horstmann's second law. And however good you think your communication with your team is, it could be better, in large part because even if you're sending them emails and texts or Slacks or team messages or whatever, if you haven't built the trust, everything you're sending them is going through a filter of lack of trust. And communication is what the listener does.
Yeah.
And if there's not trust, you think you're communicating because you're uttering, because you're typing, because you're saying things, but they're not hearing that. And communication is hard. And the single biggest enabler of effective and efficient communications is trust between two parties.
Mm-hmm. And folks, effective managers encourage relationships by communicating regularly. In this case, talking of one-on-ones in this cast, the primary focus of one-on-ones is on the direct, but a lot of benefits come back to the manager.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot. Exactly. And part of the reason your directs are always nipping at your heels, asking you questions that you think are silly or minor or unimportant, or that they really should know the answer to, is because they want more time with you. They want more interaction with you. They want to be seen by you more often. So here they are. And let's not forget something we've said many times before. As the manager, you control their addiction to food, clothing, and shelter. You control whether they get promoted. And if they get to be put onto those good projects, or if they get sent to Siberia to clean out the library shelves, this is the things you do. So making time regularly for them will reduce this need for them to steal your attention when it's needed.
Yeah. And, you know, we say this all the time that managers are always saying to us. The first thing they say is, oh, I don't have time for that. And we say, we have a guarantee. We've had a guarantee as long as I've been teaching one-on-ones, so 30 years now, the guarantee is always held. If you do one-on-ones the way we recommend them, and there are a lot of other people talking about how important one-on-ones are, but they don't really tell you how to do them. They don't go into detail about here are the non-negotiables in our outline today that Sarah shared are the non-negotiable parts of one-on-ones. If you do them this way, we guarantee you will get more time back in your calendar than you spend in the one-on-ones themselves. Now, how is that possible? Well, first of all, because of trust. Second of all, because as Sarah mentioned, if your directs are always coming to you for stuff, why not centralize that in one meeting a week? Which is one of the reasons, by the way, while you can't do we don't recommend bi-weekly or every other week one-on-ones, because if you're having them every other week, those nipping at your heels moments, they won't slow down. If I have a problem with Sarah, who's my boss, and I need some guidance and it's Tuesday, I might be able to wait till Thursday. I can't wait till next Thursday.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, I'm trying to predict what y'all are thinking out there. And you might be thinking, while I talk to everybody on my team all the time, I don't need to schedule a time. I'm fine with being for them when they need it, right? I'm fine with them coming up and asking me questions and getting my attention whenever they want it.
Sure, yeah.
And you're probably also the type of person who's quite happy to be interrupted when you're concentrating, right? Just checking, right?
Yeah.
You like to think and make decisions on the fly, right? And when you think of something you want to talk to a direct about, you just pop on down on the end of their desk and you start talking to them. And not everyone in the world thinks and feels and behaves like you do, roughly, if y'all aren't any familiar with communication style, roughly half of the people, which isn't a good percentage, to be clear. There are people who are incredibly uncomfortable when you just pop down in their office to chat at them. They feel like they can't give you a good answer to your question, and they're certainly not ready to ask their questions on the fly. So for those people, you need to schedule regular time. So do.
Yeah. And this goes back to, you know, we have hundreds of thought experiments we do with our audiences at our conferences and when we're coaching people and at public conferences and at client events and so on, where you walk down to your direct's desk and you ask them, hey, you got a minute? And what do they almost always say? In fact, always say.
Sure,
the
boss.
Answer is, sure. Yeah, of course. Let me assure you, folks. They're not sitting there waiting for you to come around secretly rubbing their hands together. Oh, he's coming by. I hope he stops. Talk to me. I really want to be interrupted. No. So then why do they say yes? It's because you're the boss. It's not because they necessarily want to talk to you. And then if you think that you're going to get something from their agenda out of them when they're not ready for it, that conversation ends up being about your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with it being about your agenda is you always get your agenda covered. Most managers don't realize how much they set the agenda in virtually every conversation they have with the directs. It's one of the benefits, if you will, of being a manager. If you don't create space and time for your directs, you'll be talking to them a lot.
You will.
But you won't be building trust, nor will you be hearing from them of what they really want to talk to you about. And you can't just Shanghai them and magically expect that, oh, whenever I want to talk to them, they'll want to talk to me about the things that are important to them. So let's be clear. What is a one-on-one? Well, it's focused time for you and your direct to communicate. But as we've alluded to, the primary focus is on your direct. This isn't an opportunity for you to bogart the meeting and suddenly talk for the full 30 minutes. In fact, years ago, when we first taught one-on-ones, this is 30 years ago, We told them, let the manager go first. And the managers all took 28 of the 30 minutes and then turned to their director and says, do you have any? Oh, I'm sorry. I took too much time. I thought I was going to give you half the time and me half the time. And now I've taken 28 minutes. Do you have anything for me? And all the reasonably intelligent directs said, no, this is yet another meeting where it was supposed to be a two-way street, but it ended up being a one-way street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something I end up saying a lot to the groups that I'm teaching, that we're training, is if you're in a conversation, but only one person's talking, you're not building a relationship.
Exactly.
And generally, if it's a manager, one person's talking and that person has work falling out of their mouth, you're definitely not building a relationship.
And because you always have stuff to talk about with your directs, generally speaking, for most managers that we know, this is not an opportunity for you to say, oh, I'll centralize all the stuff I have for them, and then I'll spend 30 minutes telling them all the stuff I need them to do. Okay? It's not an opportunity for that. You will get your chance. There's a part in the agenda of one-on-ones. We'll cover that in a minute, where it's time for you to talk about your stuff, but it's critically important that the direct gets to go first. This is not a waterfall meeting where all you're doing is passing on stuff down from on high. That's for your staff meeting. And if you're doing a staff meeting and you think your staff meeting is enough, rest assured you cannot. Psychology 101 will teach anybody, you do not build trust with individuals if you're talking to a group of individuals. The only way we build trust is one-on-one. And that's, in fact, why they're called one-on-ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, unfortunately, though, Mark, what you've done is essentially you've taken away this time from them. Now everyone out there is obviously thinking, well, I have to get up this time. I have to schedule it every week. And I don't get to discuss my stuff.
Yeah.
You're not doing a real good job. I got to say, you're really not selling it on manager tools and the concept of one-on-ones. Yes, we know. We know. Bear with us. The purpose of one-on-ones is to encourage effective relationships. Better relationships means more and better work gets done. How do two human beings measure their relationship?
Yeah. How do you know that you have a better relationship with your best mate than someone on the outside of your circle? First, you communicate more often with your best mate. Whether you're an every hour, every day, or once a month person, you communicate more often with the people who matter most to you.
Mm-hmm. And second, your best mate is more likely to have conversations with you about subject matter that actually matters to you. That's why good friends have similar interests. At a dinner party, you like the people who ask about you and the subjects you're interested in more than you like somebody who just talks about whatever they're interested in and about themselves the entire time.
Exactly. We've all met that person, right? That person thinks they're a great communicator.
They do.
When in fact, we have podcasts about we have podcasts about communicating with others and having conversations. And the way to be a great conversationalist is to ask questions. You can have a 20-minute conversation with them, keep them talking about themselves. They think they're a marvelous conversationalist. In fact, they're not, because they never at once asked about you. And to take this back to your relationship with your directs, talk to them more often about the things that matter to them. Again, you'll have plenty of chances to talk to them about stuff that's important to you, and we're going to give you time in our recommended one-on-one agenda for you to do that. But you've got to give your directs, partially because of the role power differential, a chance to come to a meeting and know that that meeting is primarily about them. That is the essence of a one-on-one. And we should also add one other thing. It's all your directs. It's not some of your directs. It's not two of your best directs. It's not, oh, I'm going to do it with these three people because they're most likely to get promoted. Or those three more senior people over there, I don't need to do one-on-ones with them because they already know their job. This is not about their job. It is about trust between you and them. And we've tried doing one-on-ones with part of a team, and it doesn't work. The people who are getting the one-on-ones in the beginning before they really learn the value complain, why am I having to spend this time? I feel like I'm being punished, which is not the case. But the other half is like, well, why am I not getting time? And both sides lose. So if you have a direct report and you're responsible for their performance review at the end of the year, if you're responsible for their development, for their coaching, for giving them performance communications, for knowing what they want in their future and how they want their career developing, you're going to have to spend time with them. And that means all of your directs, not some of them, not the best, not just the worst, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Now, folks, something I probably should have said when we started this podcast, but here we are, is Something that we oftentimes, I'm going to say employ over here at Manager Tools, is called the middleman test. Now, if you're not familiar with the Horstmann middleman test, we have a full podcast about it on our website, manager-tools.com. The crux of it, though, in essence, what it means is, if while we're saying something, you're thinking to yourself, well, my directs don't need that from me. That's the wrong question to be asking yourself. It's the wrong way to think about it. Don't ever say, well, my directs need or don't need something from me. Instead, ask yourself, do I want or need this from my manager? Put yourself in the shoes of the direct here as we're having these conversations. And the way you answer that question is often different.
Right. Sure, I'd like more time with my boss. I'd like to know what she's thinking. I'd like to know what she has planned for me. I'd like to know how I'm doing, what she thinks about how I'm doing. I want to get a chance to be coached. I want a chance to pitch my idea, which I can't do at desk side when my boss just stops by for a chat and starts with, how was your weekend? As if that's the most clever thing any manager ever did to improve relationships, asking people about their weekend. Yeah, the middleman test basically says, whatever you assume about your directs, you better be careful, because you need to remember your direct as well. Whatever your directs want from you is probably what you want from your boss. Assuming your boss is within the normal range of anything between the top 10% and the bottom 10%. We know there are some of you who don't want to talk to your boss at all, and that's fine. He or she's a terrible boss. We get that. The whole point of Manager Tools is the mission of the company is every manager effective and every professional productive. So for the vast majority of us, 80%+ of the people in the world, what you want from your boss, your directs want from you.
Yeah.
It's a function of structure and hierarchy and org charts and role structure and human psychology 101. And telling yourself, my directs don't need this, is the wrong answer, as Sarah said. The answer is, what do you want from your boss? And imagine also that your boss said, I'd like to meet with you for 30 minutes once a week. I'm doing this with all my directs. Would any of you say no? If you're wondering whether or not your directs will say no, I'd be willing to bet if you're a manager right now, none of you would say no if your boss asked you for 30 minutes once a week. And she was asking for everybody on the team, not just you. You'd, of course, say yes. And yet managers routinely tell us, no, I would say yes to my boss, but my directs, no, they wouldn't say yes to me. You're probably wrong. That's what the middleman test is all about.
Good morning, Austin. I'm hosting an early May EMC and ECC here in Austin. May 7th and 8th, I'll be out at the Airport Hilton with a manager training and a communicator training. Come out and learn the next steps to being a more effective professional with our EMC on Tuesday and our ECC on Wednesday. Austin is a really fun town, and we'd love to host you. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
All right, that takes us on to the next bit of our guidance. Schedule all your one-on-ones on your calendar. Your one-on-ones, folks, to be clear, must be scheduled, and be scheduled on your calendar. Directs know, just like everybody else knows, that the most important things to you are the things on your calendar. Now, truth be told, you may not be managing your calendar properly, and it might be full of other things which aren't your actual priorities, such as those meetings you just couldn't find a way of getting out of, but they're on your calendar. If they're on your calendar, whether they're important or not, your direct thinks they're important. And seeing them or seeing their name on your calendar reassures them of their importance to you. The fact that you're making time for them.
Yeah. In fact, for many years, we taught one-on-ones. The first thing we taught was weekly. That was the thing that really made the difference. And then we discovered, when we started sorting through the data, and for those of you who don't have a history with Manager Tools, you're maybe coming to this podcast for the first time because you've heard about us but never started, and that's why we're re-recording our core guidance for our entire multi-million person audience, is because we want to freshen it. We want to make it current. We want to make it modern. We want you to understand that this guidance is still valuable. In the very beginning, we said weekly was what's most important. But when we started getting all this data, and we have data on over 750,000 managers on 6 continents in the world, in long-term studies where we followed them and compared managerial behaviors against results and retention, what we discovered was there were some managers who were not scheduling their one-on-ones and still doing them weekly, and they were being outperformed in results and retention, the ultimate measures, by managers who scheduled their one-on-ones and had them biweekly. And so we started sifting through the data, and we realized if we took out the managers who did weekly one-on-ones but didn't schedule them and only looked at scheduled weekly one-on-ones, the results were even greater. But we didn't know that when we were first gathering data. Mm-hmm. If you don't schedule them, you're missing out on a huge opportunity. Your directs, first of all, won't realize that they're that important to you. And the other thing they know is they'll get canceled at a moment's notice because in addition to the calendar you have set for the beginning of the week, everybody's calendars are always changing, right? And if it's not in your calendar, you probably won't have time to get it done.
Yeah. Well, the middleman test I often do, Mark, when we're talking to managers is, okay, so imagine your manager says to you, gang, I really want to have a good relationship. So we're going to have one-on-ones every week. Now, because you never know what our calendar is going to be like on any given week, it's probably easier if I just do it during my admin time, like the Sunday night or Monday morning when I kind of get ready for the week, I'll identify times for our one-on-ones to happen. So every week, expect from me by noon on Monday an email suggesting a possible time for our one-on-one that week. Okay, so then the question being, who thinks their manager is going to do a one-on-one? Everyone's like,
no,
that ain't going to happen. I'm like, okay, cool. So if you don't think it's going to happen, are you going to prepare for it?
Probably not.
And then tongue in cheek, I say, yeah, of course you're not, because you don't even prepare for all the meetings you know will happen. Why would you prepare for this one in case it accidentally does? And that's the thing. If you don't schedule it, no, your directs are going to save up all of those minor, petty, small requests because they're not sure they'll get time with you. If right. It's on the schedule, it alleviates that need. They know they have that time, essentially, as long as you're not canceling them constantly, guaranteed for them. And because they know it's going to happen every week, and they know it's time limited because they have a time in their calendar, they will then begin to self-select what they think is important versus unimportant. What needs to happen now versus what can happen later, urgent versus non-urgent. And they'll get better at prioritizing because now they have time to fit all of those requests in a singular block of time.
Yep. And when we first started getting this data back, we realized something, that scheduling was more important. We thought weekly was more important. So that's why we talk about scheduling them being first. We didn't really understand what the scheduling was. We had to go ask directs, thousands of directs, why is the scheduling of it so important? And as you say, number one, because wow, he put me on, or she put me on her calendar. This makes me as important as her calendar, which used to be a problem for me because I couldn't get any time with them. So I've been elevated to a higher level of priority. The second thing they said, as you alluded to, they have time to prepare. And for the manager who thinks he can just walk down and say, hey, got a minute? And the direct, of course, says yes, because you're the boss. I like to joke that managers often think themselves funny. And I remind them that they're not laughing at your jokes because they're funny. They're laughing at them because they're your jokes. And so they feel obligated. But what happens is, in addition to feeling supported and actually raised to the level of the manager's calendar, they get a chance to prepare. And if you walk down and say, hey, do you have a minute? And the direct says yes. And then you say, let's do our one-on-one. What are the chances that's going to be a meeting that primarily focuses on the direct's needs, wants, desires, and so on? And now, mind you, some of you are thinking, well, do I really need to worry about needs, wants, and desires of my directs? Because really, I've got pressures from above. I need to be thinking about the company and my boss and the division and department and whatever else. And the answer is, yeah, you do, because they're the engine of what you want done. And if you don't focus on those things, you won't be able to build up the kind of trust that you'll need to ask them to dig deep when, in fact, the stuff hits the fan at the office and you need everybody all hands on deck doing something.
That's exactly it. So folks, now, in addition, I should say, the advantage of scheduling one-on-ones on your calendar is that if you have to move due to conflict, it's there on your calendar to remind you it needs to be rescheduled. I mean, worst case scenario, your one-on-one is Tuesday at 2 p.m. and Tuesday at 2 p.m., you're like, dang it, I totally forgot about this meeting. And then you have your, it causes you to reschedule it on your calendar. Now, be warned, never cancel one-on-ones. Canceling one meeting will put you on a slippery slope to canceling more. And suddenly, the one-on-ones become less important. Worse than that, your directs become less important, or they feel that way anyway.
Exactly. Now, we have some data on that as well. It's okay if every once in a while a one-on-one doesn't happen. You don't cancel it, but something stands on your boss steps on the meeting, your direct is out on Thursday and Friday because they're sick and you were scheduled to have your one-on-one on Thursday. That's okay. Our data show that the manager who schedules his or her one-on-ones and has 85% of them over a period of time, say 3 or 4 months, gets about the same improvement and results in retention as the manager who scrupulously has 100%. So it's not a pact with the devil. If you miss one, it's not the end of the world. In fact, no single one-on-one is going to make the difference in your relationship. It is the discipline, and we come back to this so often in Manager Tools Guidance, it's the discipline of following through with what you said you're going to do, and one-on-ones are the form that the behavior you engage in to show a trusting relationship with you with open communication is important enough to me that I'm going to have the discipline to do it. So it's okay if you miss every once in a while. People understand that. And if it's not on your calendar, somebody else can schedule that time. That's another reason. If your calendar is left available on Monday and there's open slots, people are going to fill them. But if you put one-on-ones on your calendar, they'll have to work around your one-on-ones. And many of you have told us over the years, tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of managers all over the world now have told us the single most important thing I do every week are my one-on-ones.
Mm-hmm. Now, folks, no. I mentioned a moment ago, worst case scenario, it's Tuesday at 2 and you realize your one-on-one needs to be rescheduled. But let's not live in the world of worst case scenario if we possibly can, if there's any way around that. What that means is reschedule when the conflict arises. That is, when you see, oh, shoot, I'm going to miss this one-on-one, that's when you schedule. Find a new time within the same week. Don't reschedule so that you end up with 2 in a week. That's been tried.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's going to seem weird. You're going to get to your second one-on-one and it's going to be like, but my list was already covered. It rarely works. So you'll end up canceling more one-on-ones. And again, we don't want to drop below that 85% kind of threshold. So try to avoid that if possible. And reschedule. When you know there's a conflict, reschedule. That's all for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us again next time as we move into the second part of our guidance, one-on-ones updated.